It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Dwight Shepherd with Living Waters Church in Burns Flat. How are you doing this morning,
I'm
sir?
I'm doing well. Doing well. My voice will blend together with yours, and between the two of them, we'll get there, won't we?
We will. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it by email to hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it on our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it down on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City. I think I covered it all.
I think you did. We'll start off praying and ask the Lord to bless Monica's voice and help her to get that cobwebs out of her pipe there. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we are gathered this morning together, we thank you for this ministry. We thank you for an opportunity to be together as your people and to open your word. And to bring before you prayer requests, to enter the throne room of grace. As your word declares, we can enter the throne room of grace by the blood of Jesus and find help in our time of need. And Father, I'm just going to be honest. I don't remember too many times in our lives that we don't have need. But we are aware that you're aware of everything we need. Father, I bring Monica before you this morning. Lord God, her voice is important because she uses it for you. I pray your hand of blessing be upon her, Father, bring complete and total restoration of her voice. Father, you know what she's been dealing with, all the things she's been dealing with. I pray strength and peace and grace upon her and upon each one of our listeners. Father God, whatever the need may be, we thank you. Bless this program now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, Rest in Him.
Rest in Him. We could have called it Chill.
Yeah.
The younger audience might have kind of chilled, you know, just chill, just relax, you know, don't get so worked up about things sometimes. I'm preaching myself some today. You know, I'm going to be honest, I was about to go mow my backyard this morning because today is not Wednesday, you know, and normally I'm here on Wednesdays. Last time I actually swapped out for a Thursday, but it's pretty rare. I've been doing this now for like, I don't know, 12 years or something. I bet I can count on one hand how many times I've swapped out to a different day. So I won't even know what day it is the rest of the week. I'll be all confused, you know. But it's a beautiful Tuesday morning right here in Western Oklahoma, and I got up early, and I was sitting out on my back porch and just reading my Bible and just enjoying the Gospel of Luke. We're going to open up to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I was just sitting out there on my back. I got a table on my back patio, and the birds is chirping and the doves are cooing, and I just sitting out there enjoying before it got hot, you know, and just reading the word. And then I thought, boy, that grass sure needs to be got to. I better get at it before it gets hot. I totally forgot I was supposed to be here today. And I got up, and I was just about to go and get my mower out of the shed, and I thought, well, I'm going to run in here just for a minute in the house, get a drink, this and that. And I went in the house, and the thought, just out of nowhere, the thought hits me and says, I think Neva swapped you out on the Hour of Power this week. And I'm like, you know, that's vaguely familiar. That's how busy and pulled in so many different directions my life feels at the moment because I got a lot going on. And I thought, you know what? I think that's right. Oh my gosh. I wonder if it was today. And I looked at my watch and I'm like, if it's today, I better be knowing it in the next minute. Cause I'm going to be driving worse than Neva to get there, you know? And so I called Neva, and she was driving worse than Neva. No, she was trying to get here and going through the hills or on the phone. She didn't answer me. I rang up Monica. I said, Monica, did Neva swap me out for? She goes, yeah. I said, am I supposed to be there today? She goes, yeah. I said, I'm going to change my shirt, clothes. I'll be there in a minute. You know, and I live in Burns Flat, so I had to get to Elk City. But, you know, thank God for the back road. It cuts through. That saves a little time. And I got here just a couple minutes after, and here we are. But, you know, I could have just said, you know what, I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. I could fret and stew over all of it. But, you know, we ought to always be ready to talk about Jesus. And I am. I'm always ready to talk about Jesus. But on the way over here, I was like, Lord, what do we want to do? I had something I had stirring in my mind and heart to share with the church. I said, Lord, what do we want to do? And I felt like, no, we're going to go this way. We're going to talk about this. This paper that I'm using was in my Bible, but I'm going to add something to what I had already written down and just talk about resting in the Lord. Now, here's the number one thing I want to say about resting in the Lord. Understand, settle this once and for all. This is so deep, you probably just won't. I know y'all probably won't even get it. God knows everything. Now, that is a deep statement, but sometimes we go, I don't know, but what are we going to do about this? Like, God knows everything. He knows everything that goes on. Everything goes on with everybody. He knows everything you need, everything that's coming your way. He knows everything. And here's the good news. He's always for you. He's never against you. He proved it so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he's for us. So when we read the Bible, if we'll go in and study the Word of God, in all honesty, worry, fret, stewing, anxiety, frustration, pressure, whatever you want to call it, it can be a thing of the past in our lives if we will allow God's Word to be the rule in our life. So I want you to open up Luke 11. I'm going to start with the words of Jesus and just start in verse 22. The words of Jesus himself. Watch this. And I'm using the Passion Translation Bible, so if you got a different translation, it's going to read differently, so you can either follow along or you can just listen. But Jesus taught his disciples, saying, listen, never let anxiety enter your hearts. Never never let anxiety enter your hearts. Did he say never let anxiety enter your head? No, he didn't say that. Because you know why? You don't want to know why he didn't say that? Because that's something you don't always have control over. You don't have control over the things that enter into your thinking. Sometimes there are things influencing your thinking from outside. The Lord may speak to you, and that's a wonderful influence. How do you think I realized, here I've got my mind on mowing, I've got my mind on all the other things that are going on in my life this week, and praying for people with needs, and I've got all that. I am the last thing in the world I'm thinking about this morning is the hour power. And all of a sudden, boom. Think you're supposed to go to the hour of power. Well, where'd that come from? The Lord. That came from the Holy Spirit. Why would I have to worry about things when he's right there with me all the time and he knows it all? Well, Jesus said there in that 22nd verse of Luke 12. That's probably why y'all are looking at me funny. You know, 11 is right across the page from 12. Did you know that? Yeah, verse 22, Luke 12. Jesus taught his disciples, saying, listen to me, never let anxiety enter your heart. Never let it. He didn't say don't let it enter your head, because there's going to be those thoughts that come in, and thoughts that bring anxiety are going to come. But here's the deal. I heard a wise minister of God one time, Kenneth Hagin, say this. He said, I can't control the birds that fly over my head, but I can certainly control the ones that build a nest in my hair. I can keep that from happening. And every little thought that comes into my mind, I don't even have to acknowledge it. If it's a thought that provokes fear or anxiety or doubt or hurt, The last thing in the world I want to do is begin to ponder that thought. And when I ponder, I mean focus on it. You know what thoughts are like this. Thoughts are like everything else. They need food to survive or fuel. You know what gives a worryful, doubt-filled, fear-filled thought the ability to survive in your mind? Your attention. When your attention is drawn to a thought or that provokes in you something that God would not want you to have, like fear, anxiety, frustration, doubt, unbelief, all those kind of things. You know, here's one for you. Got something going on in your life, something happens in your life, it's painful, it's hurtful, it's disappointing, it's frustrating, whatever. Here comes this thought. Well, you know, why God let this? Why God that? If God loves you, then why this? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you ever have a thought that starts with the words, if God loves you, you better recognize right off the bat that thought came from the pit of hell. Yeah. It didn't come from you. It certainly didn't come from God. It came from the literal pit of hell. And it is a fear-filled, doubt-filled, blasphemous, God-accusing thought that the only recognition it needs is to be cast down. And by casting it down, here's what I want to tell you how to deal with that thought. You deal with that thought by literally, if you have to, speak out loud, but by all means, confront that thought and say, that's ridiculous. That is stupid, if God loves me. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. God loved me so much, he sent Jesus to the cross to die on my behalf, that by his death, my sins could be forgiven, and by his resurrection, I could have a new life. That's that. If God loves you, get out of my face. That's the way you need to respond to those kind of thoughts. You know, maybe you go to the gas pump. Hey, I figured out something today on the way over here. I figured out how to fill up your car for less than $25. It's simple. Just never let it even get to 3/4 of a tank. Just keep that. Just burn the top eighth of your tank. And because, you know, I went yesterday to the city picking up stuff and this and that and whatever, went to fill up my gas tank, cost me almost $100, and I don't drive a pickup truck. You know, I'm not talking about a big truck. And it's like, oh, that hurts, boy. I'm thank God he's my, and I had that thought. I said, boy, that hurts. But I said, thank God he is my supplier. And then I thought to myself, you know, 2 years ago when Donald Trump was president, that would have cost me less than half of what it just cost me. I literally had that thought. And I was like, well, whatever. God supplies mine. And see, I refocus those thoughts. You go in, you go buy groceries. I figured out how to keep your grocery bill under $100. It's simple. You just go every day. Just get what you need for the day. I doubt if you'll get $100 worth unless you're having a big crowd come over. You see, why are you talking negative like that, Pastor? Because these are the kind of things that you and I have to go through life. And these are real things. Paying for your gasoline, buying your groceries, dealing with bills, dealing with people. And I haven't even got to the really powerful stuff. And then there's the things in life that just jump up and just slap you. And you just, you know, I didn't see that coming. I don't like it. Man, if I could back up time, I guarantee you one thing. I would do something to make sure that didn't happen. You know, we all have that. We all have those circumstances. We all have that. That's coming at every one of us. So first and foremost, let me say this to you. If you're feeling like there's something awry in your life or something wrong with you because you're constantly being, man, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this gas. I don't know how I'm going to pay for the groceries. I don't know why this happened. I don't know. If you feel like that you're the only person being constantly bombarded, I want to just pause for a minute and make this statement. You are not alone. Every one of us, we are literally in the same boat. The boat is called Earth. Now, how you let that affect you is different from one person to the next, one moment at a time. You say, well, Pastor, you're a person of faith. You don't ever worry. Thank you for that compliment, but it ain't true. I am a person of faith, and I should never worry. But there are times when even I, a pastor who knows the Word of God well, who lives a godly life, that I'm still attacked by worry, fear-filled thoughts. And I need to go back and put my eyes on the Word of God. And Jesus says, never let anxiety enter your heart. It may enter your mind, but stop it right there and cast it out. Don't let it get any deeper than that. And then he goes on. He goes, never worry about any of your needs. Never worry about them. He said, don't worry about food or clothing. And then he reminds us this. This is important for you to think like this. When you catch yourself, and I do mean it that way, catch yourself worrying, entertaining thoughts that are not provoking faith. When you catch yourself having those kind of thoughts, you just stop. And here's the kind of thing you need to remind yourself of. He says, your life is infinitely more than just food or clothing. Take the carefree birds as your example. That's one of the reasons why I like to sit in my backyard on my back porch, because we have every kind of birds. Sharon and I, he said, take these carefree birds as their example. Do you ever see them worry? You ever seen a bird sitting on a highline wire 35, 40 feet off the ground, and he looks like he's worried that he might slip and fall? Or he's worried about where he's going to get some water or some food or this and that. No, birds don't worry. Maybe we need to be like bird brains. You know, he said they don't worry. They don't grow their own food. They don't put it in a storehouse. And yet God takes care of every one of them, feeding each one of them. Listen, this is a Passion Translation. That's why I like it so much. He's feeding every one of them from his love and his goodness. How can I count on God to provide for me? Because I know his love and his goodness. Let me ask you something. Do you really believe that you could entertain a bunch of worry, doubt, fear-filled, frustrating, hurt, whatever thoughts, while you're actually focused on the goodness and the love of God? I don't think so. You start focusing, unless you just don't know the love of God. I mean, if you don't really know the love of God, I could understand then, because somebody probably fed you full of ideas about God. You know, he's this big judge sitting in heaven waiting for you to mess up so he can get you with the ugly stick. Well, if that was the case, he would have got you a long time ago. He is actually a loving father that loves us so much that he once again gave his son as a sacrifice for us. And Jesus loved us so much that he came and lived among us and was our perfect sacrifice, willingly laying his life down. And the Holy Spirit loves us so much that he left heaven and came to indwell you and I and walk with us in this dirty, disgusting, sin-sick world. The Holy Spirit loves you so much that he came to live in you to help guide you into all truth. That means when the devil's hammering on you with his lies, the Holy Spirit's right there upholding you with his truths if we listen. And like this morning, you say, well, that was just, you know, you were in the yard, you were fixing to mow, and all of a sudden you had this thought. That's just your thought. Well, I'd like to disagree with that. That's not my thought, because my mind was 100% on, I need to do this, then I need to do this. Can we be honest? If I'm being real honest, I wasn't fretting and stewing and being frustrated over the things I needed to deal with today, but I had in my mind already decided pretty much how at least the first two-thirds of this day was going to go. I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this, not knowing what he knew, and he just redirected. We need to allow him to do that. I never need to worry, but I always need to be open to the Holy Spirit. So when I feel like I'm starting to worry, I need to cut that off. I need to catch myself, and I need to redirect my thoughts onto the goodness and the love of God. That's the answer for worry. How do I rest? I redirect my thoughts on the goodness of God. Look at verse 25. Jesus, I think if I remember right in NIV, says, which of you by worrying, you know, here's what it says in the Passion. It says, does worry add anything to your life? That's what he asks. You know, that could have been our title today. Does worry add anything to your life? Well, I'm going to tell you, I believe worry does add something to your life. I believe it adds a higher number to your blood pressure, a little bit more gray to your hair, a little more wrinkles to your face. He said, does worry add anything? He said, can it add one more year? Can it even add one more day? So if worrying adds nothing, and I'm going to say nothing positive, if worrying adds nothing positive, but it actually subtracts from your life, why would you worry about God's care of you? And that means more when it says God's care of you. Let me say the way God cares about you. God cares. You're going through something? You're not going through it without God. Holy Spirit's right there with you. Do you hurt today? He hurts with you. But he also heals. He is, after all, known as the Comforter. Amen? So, can worrying add anything? No, it subtracts. He said, so why would you worry? And then he reminds us this one. If you can't find any birds to look at, he goes, well, now look at the flowers of the field. Look at the lilies. He said they grow and become beautiful, not because they work hard like Neva. Actually, Neva's kind of lazy. She only works usually half day, you know, 12 hours, half a day. I like to pick on her. He said it's not because the flowers work hard or because they strive to clothe themselves. I'm emphasizing that for a reason. The flowers don't strive to clothe themselves with flower petals. What do? They just be. They're just who they are. They're who God created them to be, or what God created them to be. And it just comes natural because they receive the ability to blossom from the soil they're planted in. I'll let that soak in a second. What soil are you putting your roots into? If you're watching the television set and watching the news and listening to Nancy Negative and, you know, Brother Bucket Mouth, you know, your soil's rotten, man. Your soil's no good. You need to be plugged into the soil of the Word of God, the love of God, and get around people that are going to speak faith words. Listen, I'll tell you what a good friend is. A good friend is when you're together and you start spouting off, you've had it rough, and you start spouting off a bunch of worrying stuff, they'll correct you. Gently, in love, but they will correct you. Now, Monica's never been corrected by her pastor. In love, right? Always. He said, just if you're having trouble, geez, I'm going to summarize it real short. He goes, if you're struggling with worry, you need to be reminded of the love of God and the goodness of God. And if you need to, go look at the birds. Go sit and listen to the birds chirp. Maybe your life is just too stinking busy. Go listen to the birds chirp for a little bit. And ask yourself this question. Who feeds these birds? Do they try to be self-sufficient? Do they try to fix their own problems? Here's one even better than that. Do they try to fix everybody else's problems? Because if you're like me, a lot of my tendency to worry is not about me. It's about me trying to, if I'm being real blunt, honest about it, it's about me trying to fix other people's stuff. Pastors are bad about that. But we can't worry about people. If I worry about people, that doesn't help them. And it sure don't help me either. We've got to roll that care onto the Lord because of two things, His goodness and His love. Amen.
You know, I've been going, you know what I've been dealing with this past week.
Yep.
And Saturday, I think it was Saturday, the days are kind of jumbled together right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I had left the house and was on my way to my mom's. And as I'm pulling down my mom's road, this thought came. Just go get you a little bit of tequila. It'll help. And I pulled over and I sat there for a minute and I said, that ain't going to help me. I rebuked that in the name of Jesus. And I call for the Lord.
Yep.
And I call for His love and His peace to surround me and everyone that is dealing with this and going through this with me, because I know I'm not alone. And what's going on around me.
Yep.
And then I just started thanking God for His comfort, His love, and His peace that is guarding my heart and my mind in this moment.
Yep. So you did exactly what I'm teaching about.
Yep.
And you know the Lord well enough and His word well enough. But that, and listen, I don't care if you've been saved a few years or a few decades, the devil is not going to give up trying to get at you. And especially when something happens that, you know, he may sense it as a point of weakness. You know, the Bible describes the enemy as if he's like a roaring lion who goes about seeking someone to devour. Well, if you watch animal documentaries, lions don't attack the ones in the herd that are in the middle of the herd. They don't attack the big, strong bull. They don't attack the mama cow. They're looking for that wounded one. Yep. They're looking for that baby. They're looking for that straggler who's out of fellowship with the herd. Did you get that? I hope you got that one. He's looking for a sign. He's looking for a weakness to exploit. But thank God, when I am weak, Jesus is still strong in me. The Holy Spirit's still strong in Monica. And that was one of those thoughts, like that was that bird that flew over your head and tried to start building a nest, and Monica goes, get out of here. Yeah. And not only that, but I noticed this too. You didn't just make it about yourself. You said, and Lord, everybody, you're able to help me and comfort me and everybody else who's going through. See, I'm going to tell you something, boy. You wanna give the devil a black eye? Who don't want to give the devil a black eye? Who don't want to throat punch the devil, right? Come on, who don't want to put inflict harm on the kingdom of darkness for all the harm the kingdom of darkness has inflicted on us as a human race? Well, I'm going to tell you how you can really inflict harm on the kingdom of darkness. Every time he pokes you with a stick, you respond in faith, and not only for yourself, but make it bigger than that and start praying for other people. I've told a lot of people who had addictions in their life, I say, if you're getting past that addiction and then that addiction comes and it starts tapping on your shoulder and going, hey, 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 I say, I'll tell you how to put that to rest. Every time the devil pushes that button, instead of it making you want to light up another cigarette or take another drink, or in my case back in the day, it was get another dip of skull, instead of letting that button get pushed for that, every time he pushes that button, when I first got off of that, and he would push that button and my mouth would water, and I'd hear that thought, and I'd hear that thought about, need to get you a dip. And it's like, here's what the Holy Spirit gave me this. He goes, just pray for the lost. And boy, I start doing that, all of a sudden my mouth would water, and the old devil would like, you need a dip. And I'd go, Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die for the lost. Lord, I pray that people today will come to know Jesus. I guarantee you one thing, it didn't take long, and the devil's up there. The devil, he's putting out a bulletin, do not touch that button. You know, every time you touch that button on that boy, he starts praying for the lost. Do not touch that button. And he quit touching it, and his little imps quit touching it. And it went away completely, totally gone, forever. It's not even, people can dip around me, and it's like, if anything, I'm going to be honest with you, it's disgusting to me. And I think, how did I used to do that? But we've got to be wise about it. If I'm going to rest in the Lord, I'm going to have to know how to deal with worry thoughts, anxious thoughts, fearful thoughts, doubt-filled thoughts. And the way I do it is this way Monica did it.
You know, Friday, when we came in here, right before we got started, I was getting everything, you know, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to come lay at my feet for just a minute. Mm-hmm. And so I just, yes, sir. Yeah. Sir, yes, sir.
Yeah.
So I got up. And I went over there and moved stuff for a minute. And I laid down right here, just face down, just laid there.
Just worshiping the Lord.
And started praying in tongue, mm-hmm, in the spirit. And then I got up and we did the program. And I now know why.
Yeah.
The Lord called me to do that.
Yeah.
Because that evening, that evening, when I got home, we found my neighbor dead,
mm-hmm,
in his trailer.
Yeah.
I needed what the Lord had for me right then.
That's right.
To get me through what I was about to go through.
Right.
I don't know how, and I don't want to know how it would have ended had I not heard him tell me
to prepare
to
you.
Come lay at my feet, child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To have to walk in to a trailer
and literally see
where
that.
Your friend and your neighbor has been dead for probably 2 days.
Yeah.
To have to walk in there and get his mama out of that trailer. Monica does not have the power to handle what I'm handling right now.
Yeah.
I promise you, it is all my Lord and Savior Jesus.
Amen.
And Sunday morning, when I woke up, and I just, with everything, I just didn't feel. I didn't feel. Monica didn't feel like doing anything but crumbling and crying.
Right.
And the Lord told me, the Holy Spirit said, nuh-uh. Come home.
Yeah.
Come on home. Come home.
Come to Papa's house.
Come home. So I got up, and I threw my clothes on, changed out of my pajamas. I almost came in my pajamas, I tell you what.
Well.
But I had mercy on us. I went ahead and threw on an old T-shirt and shorts. And showed up.
Yep. And got loved on by the Lord and by your family of believers. And that's, listen to me too, when you're going through something, there's always going to be that tendency to want to withdraw. But that's the last thing in the world you need to do.
That is a trick from the pit of hell to get you down on the ground to be devoured, to be slurped up like a Slurpee from the devil himself.
Yeah. That is literally what that word devoured means. You can check it out in the Greek text. It literally means that he wants to devour until there's nothing left and slurp up the juices. It's not like the devil is going to hold of you. He'll bite your leg off. No, he will not. Mm-hmm. If you give him the opportunity. And how does he get opportunities in our life? Through open doors. That's how. Through open doors. And I'm going to tell you one of the biggest open doors that people, because it doesn't seem like it's that big a deal. Worry, doubt, fear, anxiety. It leads to depression. It can lead to all kinds of things, but it doesn't lead anywhere good. Remember Jesus' words, and we're going to take our break. He said, what does worry add to your life? And the answer is nothing. It takes away. So I cannot afford. Do you hear me? I cannot afford to allow it, because he said, don't let worry enter your heart. It's my choice. Worry's going to attack me. Anxiety's going to attack me. Stuff is going to happen. Life is not always going to be a bed of roses. Thank you for telling me that. I already knew that. Well, exactly. But you know what? It's also not a complete bed of thorns. It's a mixture. Enjoy the beauty of the roses and realize the thorns are there, but don't let it get to you. Don't let worry overtake you. Fear, doubt. Don't question the love of God. Do not question the love of God. He's already proven it. And that's where worry comes. If I'm worried about how I'm going to pay for my gasoline, do you realize this? What I'm actually questioning is God's love. You say, I ain't questioning God's love. I'm questioning them fools who made the gas prices so high. No, you're questioning whether God is big enough to take care of getting you the gasoline you need. And in essence, so you're going to go all the way back. That is me questioning or doubting the love of God. And we would never consciously do that. I'm not going to doubt God's love consciously. But worry is doubting the love of God. So I don't want to do it. I don't want to allow it. And we're not going to worry, but if you got prayer needs, we're going to take those prayer needs before the throne of God. And we believe that our sovereign, all-powerful, prayer-answering God will move on your behalf. So we're going to pray, and we're going to believe God for whatever it is that's needed.